This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Well, we will be pursuing truth, truth and beauty, beauty, truth, but Todd's not here. It is the Todd Albaugh Show, but I'm a substitute teacher along with Angela Lang here today. Don't shoot rubber bands at us now. Yes. We're going to try to keep this on the even keel. Delighted to be with you, our listeners. You can join our conversation at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Got a real treat for everybody this half hour because we're joined now by Wisconsin's newest poet laureate. Her name is Brenda Cardenas. She also was the poet laureate of Milwaukee back in 2010. She taught English for many years at UWM. Her latest book is out. It's called Trace, and it's really fantastic. I just read it yesterday. It was the winner of the 2024 Society of Midland Authors Poetry Award. So, poet laureate Cardenas, welcome to the Todd Albaugh Show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you here. What was it like to get chosen as Wisconsin's State Poet Laureate? Were you surprised? Were you shocked?
Yes, I was surprised. I was surprised because I know that is a competitive process. You know, one applies and we have so many wonderful poets in the state of Wisconsin. A lot of people don't realize how rich it is in poetry. So I was you know, pleasantly surprised. And it's kind of a perfect time for me to do this as I just retired from teaching in May of 2024. So I have the time, right, to really put into it.
Oh, well, congratulations on your retirement, too, and double congratulations on this great honor. What goals do you have for yourself as poet laureate? What do you see yourself doing?
Well, the poet laureate, and when you apply, you have to put forth or suggest a project. So I see myself doing that project, which I can describe in a moment, but also really just being an ambassador for poetry in our state. Mm-hmm. And, you know, crisscrossing the state, going to different regions when I'm invited, and even myself, you know, sending out communications to different regions and saying, hey, would you like to have me visit and do X, Y, or Z? So that I can help people to just appreciate poetry, both the reading and the writing of it, mm-hmm. and to not see it as something so frightening or that meaning is so fixed as sometimes we are unfortunately taught when we're children, that, you know, this line has to mean this, you know, but rather that there can be multiple interpretations, and also that, you know, to help people to, you know, wherever they're starting from in their craft, whether they see themselves as professional poets or are publishing, well, then to encourage them and work with them and perhaps collaborate with them. And if they're beginners and they've never tried this before, to help them dabble and to learn that, you know, you can do it, right? It's not that hard.
You know, I think you're putting your finger on something that I've thought about, too, and that is just the way poetry is taught or was taught when I was growing up. It was taught either in a stuffy way, that poetry was really stuffy and old, and or in a kind of obtuse way, that there, you know, you really have to study poetry forever to be able even to understand this one poem, even if it was an easy poem like a Robert Frost poem, much less something more complicated. And then, you know, and then they throw, you know, some starchy old ones in there, and it was just hard to grab onto when you're a young person. And I think that deterred a lot of people, or intimidated a lot of people, from enjoying what's there on offer from mm-hmm. poetry.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I always like to say that, you know, as poets, we're both artists, visual artists, and musicians, mm. right? Mm. Because we are not every poet and not every style of poetry, but for the most part, we're painting with words. Many poets are striving to create an image, you know, with words on the page, so that when you come to it as a reader, you can see it in your mind's eye, right? Mm. So we're painting with words, and we're also very conscious of the musicality of language, right? The internal music of the language. And so, you know, we use all these sound devices that maybe we know the terms for, but, you know, a reader doesn't have to know that, right? I'm thinking of things like, you know, alliteration and assonance and internal rhyme and consonant, right? The reader doesn't have to know that that's what that is, but they will hear the music. They will hear the cadences and the rhythms, right, as they're reading the poem or they're hearing the poem being read.
Yeah, all the reader has to know is that the reader likes it, you know.
Exactly, exactly.
And then the that reader can enjoying. Go back for more. I mean, that's exactly. what's so nice about it. Yeah. And I know I saw Ada Limon, the U.S. Poet Laureate, who spoke in Madison over the last year, and she was just trying to make it easy on the. She asked, "Who's been to any poetry readings before?" And a few people didn't raise their hands, and she said, "Well, I'll make it easy for you. I'm just going to read 6 poems or something like that." So she didn't. So people didn't think, "Oh, this is going to go on forever." Of course, after she read mm-hmm. 6 poems, she said, "Actually, I'm going to read a few more." So that was mm-hmm. kind of fun, and she was terrific. But tell us about your project that you outlined in your application. You mentioned that before.
Yeah. Well, I've always had a love for the visual arts. I had an uncle who was a visual artist. I have a brother who was a visual artist. And then there were just a lot of people in my family who would never call themselves artists, but who were what we might call artisans. And they would do things like make really beautiful, fine furniture. Or, you know, I had a cousin who rode rodeo, and he made tooled all the leather, the saddles, the chaps, and did all that beautiful leather tooling, right? And, you know, I think, and for whatever other reason, I've always loved the visual arts and have done collaborations with visual artists. And so I decided to set up a project where I will have a website. It's not built yet, but in the process. And I will go to different regions, major regions of the state, and do workshops on what's called ekphrastic poetry, which is really just poetry that's written in response to, or I like to say in conversation with, or in correspondence with visual art. It's inspired by visual art. And so I will get the ball rolling by having these workshops and also having all the materials on my website, because not everybody will be able to attend a workshop. And then to start with poets, a group of poets in each major region of the state that write a poem, and then that poem is sent to a visual artist in their region who has signed up to be in the project, and the visual artist will respond in visual art, a visual art piece, and then photograph it and send that photograph to a different poet in the region who has signed up to be in the project. And that poet will again respond to that visual art, right? To that piece of visual art, and then send that poem on to a different visual artist. So if you think of it like the game, the old game of telephone mm-hmm. that we had when we were kids, or a relay race, right? It'll be like a relay. But if you got to think of an octopus too, because it's going to have like, it's going to be like maybe 7-8 different regions of the state, right, that these relays will be going on in. And I'm going to, with the help of a web designer, make the website so that people who are interested, as they find out about it and want to be part of it, can sign up there, right? Mm-hmm. So that it's not only poets and artists who I happen to know. I mean, I'll start with people I know. They'll be maybe the first round, but that people who I don't know, right? And like I, people, like I say, who maybe are just beginning or dabbling in, of all ages, can also say, hey, I want to be part of this and sign up. And we will see how long the relays last in each area.
And so will there be depictions on that website of the various artistic interpretations of the poem? Or will there be a physical art exhibit, for instance, poetry art exhibit?
Well, what I definitely want to see on the website is to have the poems that are written for this project and the pieces of visual art that are created for this there. Right, yes. Yeah. So everybody can go to the website and see it. Perhaps we will have an exhibit at some, you know, near the end of it, an exhibit where the poets who can come and read their, I'm not that far yet in the thinking, but I definitely want to see that the pieces up on the website.
You know, it's striking a bone or a chord close to home for me, because my wife and I are doing this little project, and we're she's a painter. She's taking up painting in her retirement, and I'm writing poems to her painting. So it's just and occasionally I'll do the poem first, and then she'll draw something to the poem I've written. So we're kind
of. So it sounds like you both need to be a part of this project, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, you both need to be a part of this project. Exactly, because you're doing exactly, you know, exactly what I'm talking about. And that, you know, I got the idea because quite a while ago, there was a print exhibit in Milwaukee, and one of the curators set up this kind of thing where he asked poets to write an ekphrastic poem based on any piece of art in the world. And then those poems were turned over. I was part of that project. Mm-hmm. They were turned over to printmakers who then created prints in response to them. And then there was a big portfolio. And I thought, what if it kept going? Mm-hmm. What would happen if we kept seeing it, you know, keep going? I always wanted to do that. And so the poet laureateship was the perfect place. You know, and it's not only though because I have an interest in visual art, but also because I think it gives folks who maybe haven't written a lot of poetry yet, but really want to, it gives them a starting place. You know, the piece of visual art becomes the trigger, so to speak, right? From which they can develop a poem, which we always hope is goes way beyond just describing the artwork, because why bother then, right? You might as well go to the art museum and look at it, but that it be, the artwork becomes a jumping off point or for the poem. And maybe the poem ends up becoming about something personal, but that artwork was what led the poet back to that.
We're speaking with Wisconsin's poet laureate, Brenda Cardenas, and we'll talk a little bit about political poetry in a minute or two, right here on the Todd Albo Show, right after this quick break.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to the Todd Albo Show. Todd's off today. He'll be back on Monday. I'm guest hosting along with Angela Lang of Block, and we're delighted to have still with us for the rest of this half hour, Wisconsin's new poet laureate, Brenda Cardenas. Her latest book, by the way, is called Trace, and it's very impressive. I loved it. I read it just in the last 24 hours. But I want to get to some political poetry. Because, Brenda, I see that you are one of the editors of an anthology called Resist Much, Obey Little, Inaugural Poems to the Resistance, back in 2016 on the occasion of Donald Trump's first inauguration. How weird and strange and horrifying is it for you to see that he's going to be inaugurated in just a few days?
Yeah, it's... I'm you know, obviously not happy about that. We will survive, right? I hope. We have to survive it, and we have to you know, work to make sure that some of what I see as some of the most horrifying things that I have heard proposed, you know, do not happen.
And one of those is mass deportation. I mean, I saw at the Republican National Convention, as I'm sure our listeners did, you know, all the signs about, you know, mass deportation now, greatest mass deportation in U.S. history. You've written a lot about the immigrant experience and borders and walls. I mean, how do you deal with this threat?
Well, I mean, first of all, when you just think of it practically, what a massive undertaking that would be. It just, it's so crazy that it doesn't seem even that they'll like possible, right? Sure. But first of all, you know, it's extremely inhumane because, you know, many people who come here because they're fleeing. People don't just choose to up and leave their homes because it, you know, what a jolly thing to do, right? That is, you know, very, very rare, right? Maybe American expats going somewhere else, right? But that's very rare. People are leaving their homes because they're under threat oftentimes, threat of violence, political violence, or other kinds of violence, there's, you know, climate, a lot of climate migration. There's just such climate disaster that it's impossible to, you know, might be what they call economic migration, but it's economic migration because you can't survive anymore where you are. Right. And so it's really inhumane, but also it's very impractical. You know, people have been so horrified by the prices of things. Right. And I think that was a big part of the reason that Trump won the election was people so worried about the price of milk and the price of eggs. Well, what do you think you're going to pay for a head of lettuce if you deport all of the people who are picking that lettuce? Sure. What do you think you're going to pay? I mean, good luck having any salad or any fresh vegetables or any, you know what I mean? If you're actually really going to deport all the, and, you know, I mean, even the farmers who are running these giant, you know, agri-corps need those workers, right? So it's interesting because a lot of, I think, farmers who voted for Trump and you know, knowing this policy are people who really need the workers. So it's ironic. But I think a lot of them think that he's really not going to deport all these people. So, and not him, it's the whole government, but sure. You know, I find it, you know, outrageous, especially too when you think of how many good things immigrants from all over the world really have brought to this country. And when you think of, you know, the appreciation that often immigrants have, right? I mean, I taught for a while at Wright College in Chicago on the Northwest side. And our students, we had immigrants from all over the world. We had many from Eastern Europe who were fleeing all the wars and things in Eastern Europe, as well as having a lot of, you know, Latinos in that school. And, you know, I mean, those students worked so hard, right? I never had students in my life that worked as hard as those first generation immigrant students. So there's a lot of richness brought here that, I mean, really, if you were to take away everything that immigrants have given to this country, we would be at a loss.
Mm-hmm. Poet laureate Brenda Cardenas, we only have about 2 minutes left. Can you read one of your poems in 2 minutes? Maybe Against Insularity, I don't know.
That's the one that stood out to me, actually. I thought it was very beautiful.
Okay. All right. Against Insularity. Let us push air into our splenetic bubbles until they contain brimming worlds we can plunge into. Blood orange skies tinged with lavender beyond the horizon we've never traversed. Across the line we've never transgressed. Time to purge our stampeding litanies, pistol-whipped plans sutured to impossible futures, manacled to metal desks and manicured lawns. Be with me, a forest of deciduous trees, lizard-wrinkled, century of rings rising to silver-streaked clouds. All our granular wreckage, our tin pan scraps, are bursting with viridian timpani. Light the cosmic fire. Feed it with lungs the size of ship's bellows. Spark celestial candles. They will cluster into amethyst constellations like the lilacs we were born to be.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
I love that so much.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Thank you.
That's Wisconsin's poet laureate, Brenda Cardenas. Spark celestial candles. That's terrific. Thanks so much for being our guest on the Todd Alvall Show. And we'll be right back with Brittany Merlot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for Todd Alvall, who will be back on Monday, and I'm joined by my co-host, Angela Lang of Block. We've been having a fun show today. I hope you've been enjoying it. We had the Wisconsin Poet Laureate on. We had the Wisconsin Secretary of Tourism, Ann Sayers, on. We've got Brittany Merlot coming right up in a second. You can join the conversation either by text or by phone, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We've got Mark from Prairie du Sac, and then another caller. I think we'll take these two calls and then get to you, Brittany.
All right.
Mark, you're on.
Hey, hello. Yeah, thanks. It seems to me that all this talk of banning DEI language, banning DEI, banning education about climate change, and saying it's just a hoax and all this. I hear echoes of the old South and the banning of abolitionist literature. And maybe I'm being hyperbolic in that, but I just see echoes of that they don't want people to talk about these things anymore. They don't want to make people even think. I mean, that's the whole, you know, they don't want people to, we can't talk about critical race theory. What is that other than like the ban on abolition of literature in the antebellum South?
Thanks, Mark, for the call. Appreciate it.
Good point.
Yeah, I think Mark makes a good point. And also, it also reminds me of Soviet Russia, where, you know, they're doing Soviet style science that has nothing to do with real science. So you just never know with these guys, seriously. And what I'm worried about is this idea about patriotic education, that Trump is demanding that we return to patriotic education. What does that mean? No Howard Zinn in the high schools and colleges? You know, you can't have any critical analysis of what U.S. history has been. You'd get the rewriting of slavery like they've done down in Texas. You know, it's just that's I think the direction that we're headed in here, and Mark raises a good point on that. I want to bring in Brittany Merlot, the civic media meteorologist. How are you doing, Brittany?
I'm doing pretty good, riding the warm wave. How are you?
Good. What's with this? It's was 46, 48 degrees when I was driving in today.
I know. Temperatures are hitting 50 degrees right now along the southern state line, Kenosha at 50. I mean, and then we're going to drop to wind chills of about negative 40. It's crazy to think about the big flip we're going through.
90 degrees.
The weather whiplash.
Yes, yeah. That's what I've been calling it.
Now, are we breaking records right now with the heat today?
Oh, good question. I haven't looked that far, but I'm probably not. We usually get, you know, some little random warm snaps throughout, but, you know, not really a big swing like we're about to go through. Mm. Going from 50 all the way to temperatures not climbing above zero within about 48 hours.
And how dangerous is that wind chill going to be?
Oh, very, very brutal and very dangerous. I mean, we're going to be feeling anywhere from 20 below throughout the daytime to near 40 below into places, and especially northern Wisconsin, with those winds, because they're not going to quit. They're going to be gusting up to 30 miles per hour. And that is just going to take, here's what's happening, right? We've got a warm kind of like layer around us, right? An aura, in a sense. We've got this warmth, and you try to lock it in, but when the wind blows, it takes it away from you. So that's what the wind chill is. That's why it's making it feel so much colder, because your body usually has this warmth around it, and now it won't with those winds. So pretty, pretty brutal. You can get frostbite within about 10 minutes in these conditions. So layer up, bundle up, cover all exposed skin, all of that jazz. But it's going to be a long one. That's another thing. You know, we've been getting used to these little brief cold snaps. This one's going to be deep and long. It's not going to get any warmer and above zero until Wednesday.
And if you're out driving too, you should make sure you have extra blankets in the car in case, you know, your car doesn't start after you get to your destination. Then you're
And check on your neighbors too. You know, check on the elderly, check on the neighbors. You know, I think all the time we always see, unfortunately, you know, someone's heat went out, or, you know, an unhoused person unfortunately froze to death. So like, this is the time. This is what we're talking about. It's that bitter temperature where we got to check on people and make sure that folks are warm.
Absolutely. And don't forget about your pets too. If you're cold, they're cold too. I know sometimes you think, oh, they got all this fuzz and fur and they're just fine. No.
And also, you know, I'm a crazy bird watcher, which is redundant. But if you've been feeding birds at your bird feeder, don't stop now. They really need the food over the next 5 days. And here's a tip. If you're feeding suet, which I do in the cages, you get this, you know, suet cake you put in a cage, you hang up, the woodpeckers come to the cage. Keep doing that, but also take another bit of the suet and chop it up into little bits and throw it on the ground, because a lot of birds don't come to the cage, but they need the fat. So if you throw it on the ground, you'll get cardinals and nuthatches and woodpeckers on the ground too, but you'll also get juncos and doves and other birds that'll come on the ground. And they really need that fat and that protein first thing in the morning, or, you know, because they've had a cold night, just like the rest of us are having. And it wouldn't kill you to throw bird seed on the ground also during this terrible cold spell. And if you're worried about rodents in the suet, there is a solution to that. I have suet that is full of hot pepper. You can get these suet cakes that are full of hot pepper, because squirrels, mammals, don't like pepper, hot pepper, that much. And so the squirrels will not eat this pink suet that's just full of cayenne pepper. So it might cost a little more, might cost a dollar more a cake if you're going to the bird store or the Farm and Fleet, but I highly recommend it. I've had no problem with squirrels ever since I've gone to the spicy suet. Who would have thought? So anyway, that's kind of a tip. Yeah, learn things every day. Brittany, I wanted to get you on because I saw you posted on the Civic Media website earlier this week something about snowy owls. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, absolutely. Oh gosh, I love owls. They're so majestic to me. And the snowy owl is probably my favorite for sure, because, I mean, they live way up in the Arctic. They travel throughout Canada and they come down to Wisconsin too, but we don't see as many as we're seeing this year. In fact, this year is double than what we've seen the past 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So about 80 sightings so far throughout the state. And I've heard of reports actually of one of them crashing into someone's window into the Green Bay area. Isn't that crazy? So these guys are, the DNR is saying this, what we're seeing here in the state is younger owls. They're less skilled, less wary, and they're kind of showing up in random places. So what we need to do is look at them from afar, but of course give them their space. Don't intrude and interrupt them. But they're here.
Oh, it's such a cool owl. I mean, this is the Harry Potter owl. This is the white owl.
Yeah, yep.
places that I've seen them before, I haven't seen them this year. In Milwaukee, near the ferry terminal south of downtown. If you go there and drive right up to the fence, sometimes don't go past the fence. Don't go run after them around the fence. You got to leave the owls alone, but you can park your car at that fence and look through. I've seen them on top of the building in there and also on the ground. They'll sit on the ground. I've also seen them at Goose Pond in Southern Columbia County. There evidently has been a snowy owl in New Glarus. Go down to New Glarus, get a beer, and look for the snowy owl. And also Green Bay along the lakeshore is a good place to see them, too. And then just inland from Green Bay in Freedom, Wisconsin, which is a great name, Freedom, Wisconsin, they've had a lot of snowy owls historically there. And then look on telephone poles along rural roads. Sometimes they're there. Sometimes they're on the farmers' buildings, too. So it's quite a sight to see. I'd never seen a snowy owl in my life before I'd come to Wisconsin. I'd been bird watching for 20 years. So it's an awesome sight. But as Brittany said, you got to use your manners here because these young birds, the reason they're down here is they couldn't find enough food up north. And if you're harassing them, if you're getting real close to them, they're not going to be able to find the mouse or the vole that they're looking for, and they're going to starve to death. And so, you know, bird watchers and nature photographers sometimes are at loggerheads because the nature photographer wants to get real close and get the great picture. And bird watchers, we want other people to be able to see the bird. So if you're the photographer running into the field, we hate you. I hate to say it. We do not like you disturbing that bird because you're gonna hurt the bird and you're gonna hurt the rest of us who are trying to go see that bird. So keep your distance. Don't feed the bird. Don't throw mice out. Like there were people throwing mice out at a great gray owl that was in Madison when we had an invasion of great gray owls from Canada before. So anyway, treat the owls with respect. Enjoy them. They're really a neat bird. One year there was an owl on John Nolan Drive here in Madison, a snowy owl. I never saw it. We drove down, my wife and I, 10 times to see the owl on John Nolan Drive, but it wasn't there. And another winter, there was an owl on top of a downtown building here in Madison. So we do get them here in Dane County. It's been seen, as Brittany says, 80 of them all over the state. So keep your eyes out, especially when you're driving the rural roads or you're on the lakefront. So it's just a cool owl. It's one of the cool birds that there is here in Wisconsin. Other birds you like, Brittany?
Oh, I love the bald eagle. Definitely.
You know, I saw one right over my house in southern Dane County the other day.
Nice.
And then one day when I was just driving on Highway MM just south of Madison, Rimrock Road, also called, there was two bald eagles, fully adult male eagles. Beautiful. Beautiful. We just got a text from Mark from the SAC years ago at the Brule River State Forest. He saw a great gray owl fly right past him. That's amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's an amazing bird.
The Brule. That's where I see a ton of bald eagles. If you take that Highway 53 from Eau Claire up towards Superior, oh my gosh, you're guaranteed to see at least a couple of them.
Yeah, so, you know, in winter.
Reminder to keep your eyes peeled when you're driving,
And also look for hawks, not only the red-tailed hawk that is so common in Wisconsin, but a Canadian hawk called a rough-legged hawk has come down into Wisconsin, typically does in the winter. It's slightly bigger than a red-tailed hawk, which is a big hawk itself, and it's got splotches of black on its belly, which is one way to identify it. It's really cool hawk, rough-legged hawk. I don't know why that name came in, but there you have it. They're all looking for food. So again, keep your distance, enjoy the birds. Brittany, tell us what we have in store. We got cold weather through Wednesday, and then we're going to get a little warm up.
Yes. So we are going to be falling sub-zero overnight tonight for a good chunk of the state. And by tomorrow, the entire state is going to be feeling below zero. Our temperatures will hit the single digits to teens, but those winds are going to be feisty. Then our actual temperatures do fall. We fall double digits below zero into the northern part of the state, single digits below zero in the southern part, and the winds keep going. So wind chills anywhere from 20 to 40 below throughout the evenings and even into the daytime. Some of those places are going to stay brutal cold. So bundle up, stay warm, hunker down. I don't think I'm going to do anything this weekend, to be honest with you. I don't even want my car out in that, testing the battery. I hope it turns over. I don't want to, no.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that. I was supposed to go somewhere on Sunday. I'm not sure I'm going to. But, you know, this used to be called winter in Wisconsin. You know, we've been lucky. We haven't had, well, depending on how you look at it, it's crazy, the global effect of global warming. But, you know, it's a cold front coming. You know, when I got here 40 years ago, we lived in Southern Columbia County in our first house. There were 70 inches of snow, and winter went from November 15th to about April 1st. And we'd always get, you know, 5 days of this bitter cold where the temperature never came above zero. So it's just kind of a reminder. And if
the Wisconsin's strong, we got this.
Yeah, we can handle it. You know, the inauguration, they're going inside in Washington, D.C., because it's just going to be mid-20s.
Yeah, when I looked it up, I was like, oh, I expected what we were expecting. I thought it was the same thing. And I looked it up and I said, oh, okay. They're not from Wisconsin, clearly.
No, they can't do cold over there. They can't do snow either. I was there for 2.5 years after college. And if there's 1 inch or 2 inches of snow on the ground in Washington, D.C., it shut the whole town down. It was just crazy. Yeah. They don't have the Wisconsin spirit over there in Washington, D.C. So anyway, well, I'm glad anyway that the weather might be ruining Trump's huge event there. So that's just good karma anyhow. But Brittany Merlot, thanks for being on here on the Todd Alba Show.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great hearing. I always love hearing love hearing your weather forecast and the way you use good writing to convey powerful images. As an old editor, you know, I look for that.
Oh, so I appreciate that.
yeah, that's kind of cool. They're lucky to have you. So we'll be right back here on the Todd Alba Show. You can call 855-752-4842 or 855-75-CIVIC. We have one caller on the line. We'll get to you as soon as we come right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you here for the last little stretch here of the Todd Alba Show. Todd's off today. He'll be back on Monday. It's been so much fun. Sitting in here for Todd with Angela Lang of Block. We've had a fun time talking with the poet laureate of the state of Wisconsin, Brenda Cardenas, with the tourism secretary, Ann Sayers. And then Civic Media's own, Brittany Merlot. It was always fun talking with her. And you can join the conversation yourself, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC, call or text. And we've got Joe on the line. I always look forward to hearing from Joe when I'm driving around listening to Civic Media. She always has good questions and points to make. What's on your mind today, Joe?
Well, I'm on to suet. You were talking about suet earlier on and birds. And I just, you know, I'm crazy for birds. And I think that so many people in the state are because it is such a rich place with the Mississippi Flyway and the, you know, the flyway in Lake Michigan. It's just a fantastic place for birds. I had never heard, Matt, of this idea, excuse me for being out of the loop here, of adding the red peppers, some sort of red peppers. So you have sort of a pink suet block, if you will. And you had said that the squirrels will not go for that because mammals don't like that. They taste the pepper and they don't like it. Birds are not affected by it. And then you had said that you can actually take those suet blocks, if you will, and break them into chunks and throw them on the ground. Man, those are great tips. Thank you so, so much. I had, you know, been kind of shy about using the suet blocks and putting feet on the ground, but man, I'm going to go out and get some of those before the cold hits. And I wanted to ask you, as a birder, if you have ever done anything with these Built-in cameras into the bird feeders. They call them Bird Buddy or whatever they are. So you can get you can see these close-ups of birds and get a better assessment of what's going through your yard and track them that way. Have you had any experience with that at all? Do you like those?
I haven't tried it, but some friends were showing it to me. You have a bird feeder and then that bird feeder will relay the photo of the bird to your phone, show you the bird that's there and identify the bird for you that is feeding at your bird feeder. So that's pretty cool. You can get that at some bird stores too. But yeah, back to the suet, red pepper suet. It's also sometimes called super suet. You can get it at, okay. I think, Farm at Fleet or Wild Birds Unlimited and other bird feed stores. And yes, chop it up. I actually dice about a quarter of one of these suet cakes every morning. Especially when it's cold, when it's zero or below, and throw it on the ground, and they're very happy to see it.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for the tip. Appreciate it so much. There's going to be some chubby little birds in my backyard. Thank you so much.
Well, they'll thank you.
We love that.
That's the tip of the day.
Yep. There you go.
Great.
Cayenne red pepper suet. You won't be feeding the squirrels, because before I was losing half my suet cake to the squirrels.
Sure.
And the money, too. I didn't want to be wasting money, and I didn't want to be just feeding these fat squirrels, though, you know, all God's children got to eat, as I say, but still.
I mean, squirrels eat all sorts of stuff, though, too. They don't need to eat your birds, you know?
Yeah, they're doing fine. Unless
you got other options.
Unless one of the hawks get one. I saw a red-tailed hawk come get a squirrel once. That was kind of rewarding.
But, oh, wow. Instant karma, I guess.
Nature's harsh. And then on the flip side, it's painful for a lot of us bird watchers to see Cooper's hawks or sharp-shinned hawks come and get birds off the feeder or off the ground where you're feeding them. These are hawks that feast on backyard birds. They love the backyard birds. So it's tough out there. Nature can be cruel.
Survival. Sounds like a metaphor for something. I don't know what, but something.
You can draw a lot of metaphors there. But if you've been feeding the birds a lot and the birds have been there all the time and all of a sudden you don't see birds, usually there's a hawk in the area. Or another tip is if you've filled your bird feeders and no birds have come to those feeders in several days, either there's a resident hawk or you need to clean out your bird feeder. Because the bird seed has gone bad, and the birds can detect that, and so they won't come to your feeder, even though there's seed in it, because the seed has gone bad. So you should really clean your bird feeders, every couple of weeks, every month anyway, and make sure to wash your hands. There is this bird flu going around. I read something that you probably can't get it from the songbirds or the little birds that are at your feeder, but I'm either wearing gloves or washing my hands every time I go put bird seed into those bird feeders. Because you want to make sure you don't catch anything. But I think you're safe right now, keep feeding the birds, and especially this next week with the sub-zero weather. Make sure you throw seed on the ground. Make sure you got suet out there. Chop it up into little pieces so the little birds can get at it. And also another reason to throw it on the ground is birds are bullies. You know, there'll be a big woodpecker on the suet cake, and the little woodpeckers can't get there until the big woodpecker's stuffed his face. And same thing, the blue jays will try to hog the food too. So throw it out there so that there's plenty of food for everybody, especially in the mornings when they're just waking up and they're freezing to death and they need that protein. So what do you got on your mind? Anything fun for the weekend, Angela?
It's cold. I think I'm just going to stay at home and just watch a bunch of TV shows and random movies. I was in a Disney kick the other day. I watched the original Lion King. I watched Hercules. So I'm just going to keep doing more of that and staying warm. But I just think the show was great. And I feel like a constant line throughout the show was explore Wisconsin, take care of yourself. And, there's so many different things to do. So even in the winter, I find myself hibernating. But, with Secretary Sayers there, I'm like, okay, yep, I need to do more outside. And there's a lot of cool things to do in my neighborhood, in my city, and in the state, too. So I'll be thinking about some of that stuff when it's warmer, though, because I hate the cold.
I hear you. We got a couple textures. I have a block of suet out. We keep frozen. We grate it. Grating the suet. Oh. I love that. Corn cakes out. Someone says walnuts. And someone says, be careful. Niger seed feeders, they go bad. Niger feed goes bad. So those are some of your bird watching tips. Anyhow, thanks so much, Angela, for co-hosting with me. Sam, thanks so much for handling everything. Thanks to the callers and the texters. Thanks to Tourism Secretary Sayers, Wisconsin's Poet Laureate Brenda Cardenas, and Civic Media's own Brittany Merlot. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn.
And your day will come. Keep banging on, banging on your drum, and they will hear you.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.